We find ourselves on another Friday morning, and on certain Fridays, we also find ourselves with our own Sam Evans Brown for a segment that we call Ask Sam.
Why do geese make V's?
Does a bumblebee sneeze?
Can a person eat trees?
Can a polar bear freeze?
Is a kidney stone kind of like a pearl in a clam?
Well, I don't know. Ask Sam.
It is NHPR's Outside In host, Sam Evans Brown. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Rick. This week we have a question from Cindy from Chichester.
Every year I have a skunk or something similar that comes around and makes divots all over my lawn looking for grubs. But the question is this. Do they actually know that there is a grub in the place where they dig, or do they just sort of randomly dig holes until they find something? I have not been able to get an answer to this question, so it's your turn. Thank you.
Wow.
Do they have a certain skunky sense, you know, like a spider sense?
Grub sense?
Grub sense.
Challenge accepted, Cindy.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good question.
So there are not a huge number of skunk experts out there in the world, but fortunately for Cindy, I did in fact find one, and he has perhaps the best tagline of any researcher who I have ever interviewed.
My name is Dr. Ted Stankiewicz. I'm an associate professor at Cal State Long Beach in California, and I do research on predator-prey behavior and the evolution of armor and weaponry in mammals.
Armor and weaponry, Rick.
Yeah, let me hear that again. That's awesome. How do you fit that in the car?
Now, to Cindy's question, Ted says that skunks use their noses to hunt for grubs. And this is a question that really boils down to, okay, but like, how good is their nose? And as is often the case with Ask Sam questions, it's not one that anyone has really ever specifically designed a study to try to answer.
Whether or not they actually find anything underground is really hard to tell unless you're actually watching them up close with a scope or binoculars and seeing if they're chewing after they dig up a hole.
So hard to know for certain, but we do know.
I know, but I want the job. I'm up to the job. Let me try that.
We do know, however, that skunks have terrible vision and mostly rely on their noses. And so while it's really hard to say exactly how good their nose is, he says it's roughly on par with dogs. And Rick, as we know, there are some dogs out there with really good noses. Think, for example, of truffle hounds, which can search for mushrooms just with their noses that are buried underground.
Sure, yeah. Or even be able to sniff out certain diseases. I mean, it's
right, exactly.
Yeah, certain breeds can do amazing things.
So if we were to do that study that Ted laid out there where we watch skunks with binoculars to see how often they're chewing after they dig in a hole, it might be completely reasonable to hypothesize that they do, in fact, only dig when they smell a grub and they're not just, like, creating chaos in your yard. But I've got you now talking about skunks. Can I pose an interesting question to you, Rick?
It's your time.
So this defense that skunks have evolved is obviously really, really, really useful. So owls and big hawks are really the only species that prey on skunks with any regularity because most other predators are like, heck no.
Yeah. So, stay away. Stay far away.
So if being able to spray horrible smelling goo is such an advantage out in the world, why isn't it the case that other species have evolved defenses like this, like, you know, like porcupine quills or armadillo armor or all these other defenses? So Dr. Ted, who, as his tagline suggests, studies weapons and armor, has an explanation why only certain animals have developed these strategies. His lab has found that it's much more likely to find things like this in medium-sized mammals that live in open habitats.
If you are too big to hide naturally in your environment and you're too small to size out of being killed by all the carnivores around you, then you're in this perfect size range to be a tasty morsel. And you add on top of that, living in an environment that's more open, like a grassland or a desert, these animals are going to be much more at risk of being seen by predators, and they're living a much more dangerous lifestyle.
Which exerts a powerful evolutionary pressure to develop a stinky spray.
Seems plausible. Sam Evans Brown, thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick.
That's NHPR's Sam Evans Brown. And Sam, if a listener has an interesting question about our natural world that they want to get to you, how do they do it?
The phone line is 1-844-GO-OTTER. The email address, should you want to record yourself on your smartphone and email it to us, is outsidein@nhpr.org. And just as a reminder, we do prefer that method.
Absolutely. We want to play your question on the air. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Rick.
It's Morning Edition from NHPR.